Nothing beats saving with your friends. Travel together and get a third off train tickets with Group Save. From family outings to trips with your mates, groups of 3 to 9 can save when they go together. That's everyday savings when you go by train. Get your Group Save discount online today. Available in the Southeast. Terms and conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
4 minutes after 12 is the time. I owe you an apology. Don't tell anyone I told you this, all right? But I think I only got the question right in the last hour at about 12:42. And then, of course, Phillips O'Brien from St Andrews University joined us at 12:45 or shortly afterwards to discuss matters Ukraine. So there's a lesson for us all there. I'm not sure what it is, and I'm certainly not sure what it is for you, but there's a lesson for me there. To try sometimes, particularly with the stuff that you think is going to be easy because it's Brexit and that's your middle name. Try a little bit harder to come up with a more focused and clearer question, and it'll just be more fun for everybody. On the other hand, of course, it gave me an opportunity to wax a little bit more lyrical than I usually do on the question of where we are now politically and why it's so important to continue calling out and standing up to the shysters and liars that have led us to this pretty pass. A day in February in 2024 when the words World War III and recession are being bandied about quite casually, and which in 2016 were apocalyptic examples of so-called Project Fear. How weird. What a difference 8 years makes to go from insisting that they're completely hyperbolic exaggerations to describing them as, in one case, a reality and in the other, a very, very real danger. But that's enough of the news. It's Thursday. It's 5 minutes after 12. It must be Mystery Hour, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere on your radio dial. I won't bother explaining how it works because it becomes imminently clear. I just remind you of the only rule, which is that if you hear someone ask a question, don't look up the answer and then ring in. A, because I'll usually be able to tell, but not always. And B, it makes a mockery of the whole practice. It makes a mockery of the whole game. So the number you need remains the same. And there's a prize, I should remind you, a Mystery Hour game, which is a really good game. In fact, yesterday we accidentally proved how brilliant it is. I don't know if you were listening yesterday. If you weren't, then I'll need a note from your mum by the end of break. But if you were, you'll remember that I gave you a little bit of a quiz. I said, why is the phrase, and I'm going to try and get this question into the booster pack, actually. It's a booster pack coming later this year. Why is the phrase Brexit means Brexit in the news today? And I gave you three choices. Was it A, because Marc Francois has revealed the title of his second volume of memoirs? Is it B, because it's what school children shout before going in for an ankle-breaking tackle on their opponents? Or is it C, because Craig Andrews, a 31-year-old man from Great Yarmouth, or possibly Dundee, has revealed that he's had laser surgery to remove his Brexit means Brexit tattoo after losing his job as a consequence of Brexit? Now, one of those answers is correct, and two of them are made up. And on the Mystery Hour game, you get one made up answer, or one false answer and one true answer on your card. You get the question and two answers, and you also get the opportunity to make up your third answer. And what I loved about that little exercise yesterday was that a huge majority of people listening went for my made-up answer about Craig Andrews, the 31-year-old, having his tattoo removed. And that's a beautiful illustration of why the game is so much fun. Because it's not like a general knowledge quiz. It's not like playing Trivial Pursuit. A huge amount of the fun is involved in coming up yourself with the false answers, with the fake answers, and trying to persuade other people through your powers of delivery to vote them as the right answer. Anyway, you can win one by being my favourite contributor of the day, or you can buy one at mysteryhour.co.uk. 8 minutes after 12 is the time. And that's it. I think I don't need to... terms and conditions are at lbc.co.uk. I think that covers it. Are you ready? Then I shall begin. Claire's in Kingston. Claire, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on, Claire.
OK. So I wondered why children start getting afraid of the dark. Not when they're babies or toddlers, but all of a sudden it's around school age and they're suddenly afraid of the dark. And it seems to be all the kids I know, and there's programs about the dark, and I used to be afraid of the dark, and just wondered why.
Well, is it? I mean, it's because of your imagination, isn't it?
Why does it suddenly kick in?
Because your imagination is suddenly kicking in. Your imagination is developing. Your stories have changed. You're not going to read a tiny baby a story about Little Red Riding Hood being eaten. Spoiler alert. Little Red Riding Hood being eaten by a wolf, are you?
But the wolf wasn't in the dark, was he? He was in the...
But you can imagine that there is a wolf in the dark. That's the point. If the lights are on, you know there's no wolf in the room, Claire.
It's true.
If the lights are off, there could be a wolf there. It's why we're frightened of things under the bed as well, because we can't see it and our imagination fills in the gaps.
It's true. It could be that.
What I will do, rather than arrogantly taking a round of applause myself, I will ask, well, A, if that's true, but B, what you're really asking is, when does our imagination start scaring us?
Maybe.
Aren't you?
And when does it stop?
Never. No, it never stops. It never stops. You're always going to be frightened of the thing that might be around the corner. You know, even if you're bravely marching towards it inside, if you're not frightened, you're stupid, because it might be a wolf.
It's true.
It might be a wolf that you're
running towards. But that's bravery, isn't it?
All right, why are we scared? So I'll keep it simple. Why are we scared of the dark?
Okay, cool.
Why aren't babies, and then as they get older they are? That's possibly the question, isn't it? If babies aren't scared of the dark, why are children and later adults? Thank you, Claire. Sam's in Feltham. Sam, question or answer?
I have a question for you, James.
Carry on.
Why do some ancient manuscripts have to be handled with gloves?
Yeah.
And some don't?
Are we talking about manuscripts of the same age?
No, all different ones. Well, and the reason why I ask is because I was watching Dig for Britain.
Oh, yeah.
And they went back and they found some manuscripts.
Where?
But they weren't actually using them with gloves. They weren't...
Where were they found? Where were the manuscripts found?
Somewhere.
Where, though?
I think they were just in some library or something.
Well, it's probably to do with dryness, is it?
That's what I thought I'd ask you.
Well, what the glove is designed to do, what is the glove? Let's work backwards. The glove is designed to stop moisture, as in sweat on our fingers, from getting into the paper.
Yeah.
Which is not a problem with, if you like, normal paper. So it will depend on how the papers have been stored. If they're not desiccated, if they're not dry, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird question because you haven't got any chronology here. So because the answer could be, if it's more than 500 years old, you need to wear gloves. But if it isn't, you don't. But you've got no points of reference apart from some papers you saw on Dig for Britain that you can't remember where they came from. And also, what do you mean by ancient?
Older than you.
There's a big world between new and ancient, Sam. It includes old, shabby, aging.
Very, very old.
Yeah, but you don't know. So where were these documents from? What era were they from, the ones on the telly?
Probably about 500 years ago or something.
You just completely made that up, honestly. It's such an amateurish inquiry. All right.
Because I understand about the sweat coming off your hands.
Yeah.
And going onto papers.
Now, be the oils rather than the water, the oils.
Yeah.
So that will destroy some types of paper, but not other types, maybe.
That's correct. And is it to do with the print? Is it to do with the paper? Is it to do with the vellum that was used? I don't know. That's why I thought I'd ask you.
Yeah, all right. I wasn't aware of the contrast, the dichotomy. I wasn't aware that some ancient documents do not require special gloves. But the question is there. Why do you wear gloves? What are the gloves for? Why do you wear them for some manuscripts and not for others? Why are children scared of the dark, but babies apparently aren't? That's got to be something to do with your imagination. What you need to do is find someone with no imagination, with no inner life whatsoever, and ask them if they're scared of the dark. Because I bet they're not. I bet that if you can find anyone that's got no imagination, you know someone like that. Everyone knows someone like that. No inner life, no imagination, and find out whether or not they're scared of the dark, and that will prove my theory. 12:13 is the time. Terry's in Millwall. Terry, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Terry.
If you're the young oldest sibling, oldest child,
yeah,
are your genes stronger than the youngest child, and therefore you tend to live longer?
Mm.
The parents being younger when they first had you, chances, you know, I'm talking this as a youngest child, so I've got skin in this game.
Well, what what do you mean by stronger, though? Do you just mean live? Because there's a million.
They will live longer, yeah. The oldest child tends to live longer.
That's nothing to do with you, do they? Does the oldest child tend to live longer?
Well, to be honest, I'm looking at me and my mum and dad's side, and it's worked on that. It's the youngest have gone that side, and my father-in-law's, it's worked on that side.
All right.
And I'm just thinking.
So that's based entirely upon your own family tree, not on any sort of...
Yeah, and also, years ago, an old fella told me this in a pub.
Did he?
He's come back from his brother's funeral, and he told me that the oldest child is always going to have the stronger genes because the parents at the time of making him were...
Fitter.
I went a lot younger, and
it's unlikely, I'd have thought, but it's bad
working.
News. It's bad news for some people, isn't it, if it's
bad
true?
Bad news for me.
It's bad news for you. I don't know if I like the phrase stronger genes. I don't know if that's helpful in this context. So if we said longevity, is there a relationship between being younger and older siblings and longevity?
Yeah, I mean, is the first one. Is the firstborn always going to, you know, always, but...
Is there any link between being born first and living longer? That's what we want to know. Someone's done the numbers. And if there is, we want to know why. But if I were you, Terry, I wouldn't worry too much.
I'm not.
Were you at the football last night?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got a message on Saturday as well. Oh, Lord. I got a message off Danny Baker this morning. He said, I think we're going to have to call it the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
yeah, and I'm off the drink as well, so that don't help.
Oh dear. It's queuing up. The punishments are queuing up. Take care. It's 12:15.
From the coral shores of the British Virgin Islands, the ancient wonders of the Greek coast, or Croatia's glittering beaches, we're celebrating 50 years of adventure and relaxation with Sunsail sailing holidays. And you can celebrate too with 15% off a 7-day flotilla or bareboat holiday when you book before the end of February. Use the promo code SUN at sunsail.co.uk. Sunsail sailing holidays. See the world differently. T's and C's apply.
Whoa! Vauxhall are having a special event from the 14th to the 29th of February with an extra £500 saving on petrol cars.
Really? What about electric?
Wow! An extra £2,000 allowance on electric cars with 4.9% APR representative.
Including new Corsa?
Yes.
Astra?
Yes.
Mokka?
Yes!
Hey, where are you going?
Vauxhall retailer. See ya!
Personal contract purchase, electric vehicles only. T&C subject to status and availability, 18 plus, Stellantis Financial Services. At end of agreement, there are three options. Part exchange, pay optional final payment to own vehicle or return vehicle.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 18 minutes after 12 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we would like to know why children become scared of the dark. They're not scared of the dark when they're tiny, but they become scared of the dark. Why some manuscripts demand the wearing of special gloves while others don't. And whether there is any relationship between longevity and... among siblings and the order in which you were born. I like those questions. Someone just tweeted that they weren't very good this week. Xander tweeted, come on, what rubbish questions. Get lost, Xander. They're really good questions, those. Honestly, everyone's a critic. Trevor is in Frimley. Trevor, what would you like to say?
Question, James.
Carry on.
Question from my daughter Eloise.
Oh.
When we were eating a jar of pickles the other day, she said, Daddy, why is it that when we eat pickles, only one of my eyes goes all squiffy?
Does that happen to other people?
Absolutely.
I had no idea. I've been a bit worried about that for about 2 years. Because don't laugh.
The family.
Don't laugh, Trevor. Eloise is allowed to laugh, but you're not. I have kefir in the morning, like a fermented goat's milk, would you believe? It's one of my few submissions, if you like, to encroaching age, and it's worked wonders. I won't go into any details, Trev, but it's worked wonders for my guts. But it is very sour, and my left eye twitch. I don't get it with pickles. I eat a lot of pickles, would you believe, but with that particular drink, my left eye goes a bit. My left eye twitches a bit.
Interesting that it's your left eye, because we've looked at ours and it's our left eyes as well that seem to twitch.
And so it's a sourness triggering a twitch.
Yes.
So, I mean, is the question, why is it only one eye, or is the question, actually, what's going on there then?
Well, the question from Eloise was, why is it only one eye? But it would be good to know what's going on there as well.
I'm sort of doing little twitches now in the studio, like voluntary rather than involuntary twitches. Oh, you know, that's a superb question, actually. I hope we get an answer, because I really, really want to know now. And I'm going to break the habit of a lifetime, and I'm going to allow both of them, as a tribute to the brilliance of Eloise's inquiry, I'm going to let both of them stand, actually. I want to know why it's only one eye, but that answer will probably also involve an explanation of what is actually going on.
Superb.
Perfect. Thank you, Trevor, and thank you, Eloise. 21 minutes after 12 is the time. Zara is in Kingston. Zara, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
It's about why children of kind of school age are afraid of the dark.
Yes, why they become afraid of the dark.
So there's quite a few answers. So should I give you the headings and you can tell me which one I should expand on?
Well, where are the headings coming from?
I'm a child psychotherapist.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
It's a kind of developmental thing, yeah.
Yeah, go on then.
So one is evolution.
Because we will be frightened of threat. So when we can't see threat. So being frightened is a good thing, because it means you're less likely to be eaten by the thing that you're frightened of if you're frightened of it.
Can't see anything and you hear kind of something and you're in a cave, you should rightly be a bit scared of that.
Yeah, got it. Next. Let's do them all, one at a time.
Carl Jung, a contemporary of Freud, without sounding really like, well, he had a theory about the shadow self, and that children became afraid of monsters under the bed, essentially, because they were becoming aware of the darker side of themselves.
Oh, very Jungian.
I'm not sure I subscribe to that one so much as the...
Although a lot of therapy is still Jungian, isn't it, in essence, in its source. That's a really thought-provoking theory, which I haven't heard before. But carry on, so that's one of them.
The final one is something I work a lot with, and it's not so much a fear of the dark, it's a fear of separation, because parents know about separation anxiety during the day when you drop your toddler off at nursery and they cry. But actually at night, that's a really big separation, and you've gone from being together all day to suddenly being on your own. And, you know, you kind of have to pretend to be asleep in order to fall asleep. It's a weird skill to learn.
Yes.
And children actually just aren't quite ready. It's a really big transition away from their parents, and often it comes out as, I'm afraid to be on my own in the dark, but actually what it is I'm afraid to be without you and I'm not ready to separate.
So they'd still, well, hang on, because under that theory they'd still be afraid if the lights were on.
Yes.
Which isn't the case.
No, but they tend to, because children don't often have the insight to know exactly what they are afraid of. They can kind of think
of what... Yeah, so separation anxiety is quite angsty. It's like an angst rather than a very specific, mummy's not here, therefore I'm frightened.
Yeah, so often what I have to support with the parents I support through this, it's about kind of translating what your toddler is saying or doing, or your child is saying or doing, and thinking, I wonder if what you're really saying is
like that
actually you're not ready to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Can I ask a favour, James?
Oh, hang on. Not really. Go on. Hang on a minute, Keith. Get ready with the dump button in case this gets awkward. Go on.
So I offer all of this advice for free, and I really do just love supporting parents. And I don't want everyone to have to pay extortionate fees for it. Is there anywhere I could mention my Instagram? Because I do help parents with this.
No, of course you can.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Thank you, James. So it's The Therapy Shed with a full stop in between. So The Stop, Therapy Stop, Shed. And anyone that messages me with any questions about children, I will always answer, and I'm not going to charge a penny for it.
Do you know how many people listen to this programme?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, on your head be it. And I obviously can't bear any responsibility for any interactions that you may well have with people, but you sound lovely. But you, I mean, I crikey, you could regret that, Zara.
Don't think so. If it gives me a massive platform to help people for free, I'm That's all in.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, in order, I would go with, I think in contradiction to what you believe, I'd put evolution first, separation anxiety second, and then Carl Jung's theory of the shadow self third. But I think they all contribute to the overall idea that as your imagination develops, so too does your capacity for fear of the unknown and the unknowable.
There's also this theory of mind thing. So around the age of 5, you suddenly become aware of, oh, other people think differently to me.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of part of it. So it's a brain development thing.
Round of applause for Zara. Lovely stuff. Thank you. 25 after 12 is the time. Darren is in Taplow. Darren, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Right. Why can I hear the sound of the water change from my tap as it gets warmer?
So if you weren't looking at it, you'd know from the sound that it had got hot.
Yep, I do it every day.
I like that.
It happened, and now I'm curious.
Oh, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I just have a sense in my head that hot water is softer for some reason than cold water.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got the theories, but why?
We know that when it's hot, the molecules are bouncing around a lot more, so the physical properties of hot water are different from the physical properties of cold water.
Okay. I kind of could have worked it out, but I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah, I think that's what... I'll get someone cleverer than me to explain it in more fancy language, but it must be that the... Physical, because the molecules are oscillating wildly, the physical properties of hot water must be different from cold water, which means that its interaction with another body, in this case, the hard surface of a basin, is going to be different. And therefore it will sound different, because the transfer of, what would it be, potential heat and kinetic energy into sound energy is going to, the ratios are going to be different.
You sound really clever.
I got a D, mate, in physics.
That was really good.
Yeah, but I've always been good at debating. So that was proof. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I sounded like I did. I'll be in the cabinet by tea time. Philip is in Sandhurst. Actually, that's not true. They don't know what they're talking about, and they don't sound like they do anymore. But there was a time. Question or answer, Philip?
It's a question, James. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, likewise.
When you look up the night sky, and if it's a nice clear sky, you'll be lucky enough to see a shooting star.
Yes.
And they usually go from left to right, right to left, or over your head. But can you see them if they're coming directly at you?
Well, how would we ever know?
Well, you might see one.
Well, so we can. So this answer.
That's kind of why I'm asking the question.
The question can only be answered in the affirmative. If the answer is no, we wouldn't know. Because no one would have ever seen
it.
No one would ever have seen it, would they?
Yeah. Okay.
So you're what right, you're saying is, can you see? Is now, it? But... Can you see a thing you can't see? So no one can answer that except. So if you can see it.
Let me rephrase the question.
No, there's nothing wrong with the question. There's nothing wrong with the question. Well, you wouldn't see anything, would you?
What would you see if a shooting star was coming directly at you?
Well, either a shooting star or nothing. And if the answer's nothing, no one can tell us.
Okay, so if you see it, what would it look like, though? Because usually there are streaks across the sky because they're not heading directly at you. But if they're
They can't be heading directly at you.
Why?
Because have to have consistent velocity to be heading directly at you. It was going to have to drop a little bit with each few metres, isn't it, if it's falling out of the sky? It's not going to come at you in a straight line like a, you know, like a line on a graph.
Well, I mean, a bullet travelling towards you at great speed doesn't have a constant velocity, but I doubt if it's coming towards you, you can see the back end of it.
Well, you wouldn't need to see the back end of it. You can see the bullet.
No, no, but I'm not talking about bullets, James. I'm talking about
shooting stars. You just literally talked about bullets.
No, you went off on a segue.
Right, okay. All right, hands up if you think I brought bullets into this conversation. Nothing.
How many hands are up,
James? Or you think Philip did? Boom! Every hand in the building has just gone through the roof. I didn't mention bullets at all. All right.
Let's stick a prance.
So how can you see a shooting star if it's coming straight towards you?
Or more aptly, what would you see?
Yeah. Wait there, mate.
Okay.
No, stay
put
there.
Put it on the board, mate.
Yeah, I will, mate. But just bear with me. Who let him on? Look at that. Talk about. I tell you, you think the hands went up quickly when I asked who brought bullets into it? You should see how they're all trying to throw each other under a bus now, Phil. Unbelievable, man.
I'm going to say it's Keith, but I'm lying.
It's Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
Mystery Hour.
With the Purina One 3-week challenge, I can see a visible difference. My cat has a great appetite. They're full of energy, has a healthy digestion, and their eyes are so bright. So why not introduce your cat to Purina One Nutrition? It balances the bad and good bacteria to help support their gut microbiome. To start the 3-week challenge, search for Purina One's blue pack online and in store. Purina One.
Visible Health for today and tomorrow.
On LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
I can't take texts, even if you are supremely qualified. If you can't get through, I can't talk to you. That's how it works. I can't have a VIP lane on Mystery Hour. So I mean, some of these messages really are tempting. I am a paper conservator and I can answer the question on why you do and do not wear gloves. My name is Amanda and I currently work at Edinburgh University. This is my number, 07. I'm joking. I'm not going to read a number out live on the radio, but I can't do it, Amanda, because listen, I don't know, I'll have to phone Stephen in Milton Keynes, who says, I'm trying to get through, but I can't. Neil deGrasse Tyson wants... But I can't. It's so frustrating sometimes, especially if we get to the end of Mystery Hour without the questions being answered that you've answered on text. But I made these rules up many years ago for reasons I can't entirely remember, and I can't change them now. Well, I can, but I'm not going to. Andy's in Tynmouth in Devon. Andy, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
I've been reading a history textbook.
Oh, yeah.
And just en passant, it mentions that during the French Revolution, after they guillotined Louis XIV, they changed the order of playing cards. So that prior to killing the king...
It says this in the history book.
And a very, very authoritative history book written by an incredibly well-known author.
Who?
Which has got things at the, you know, pages of references at the back.
Yeah, so is mine, mate. I wouldn't read too much into that. Who's it by?
You're very good as well, I'd have to say.
You're very kind. Who's it by?
It's by a guy called Sam Wills.
Okay. And it says that, well, it must probably true then. Why are you doubting it? Just because you've never heard it before?
It just seems so unlikely it that does, the French suddenly say, okay, now one is bigger than a king because we've killed our king. Surely the rest of the world would say, well, we're not having any of that and we don't get on with your French 80 thing. Yeah. We're not having any of it.
Or they get rid of it altogether. He's chopped his head off. Why have you left him in your pack of cards?
Yeah, it could be that as well. Could just go Jack, Queen, Ace.
So, well, you probably have to get rid of the Queen as well, to be fair.
Yeah, actually, good point, my mate.
Yeah, well, thank you. Marie Antoinette, wasn't it? Is it true that the order of rank on a pack of cards changed after the execution of Louis XIV?
Exactly.
Well, I'm with you on this. It seems very, very unlikely to me. But
as your producer said, she just went, really? And that, you know, I was reading serious facts, and then I read that and I went, really?
No. Really? No. Then you went, no. You go, really? No.
I'm going to phone James O'Brien.
No. There it is. Well, let's find out. It's not me that would know the answer to that. Well, I sometimes do, but not on this occasion. Is that true? And can we go definitive on it, do you think? 0345 6060 973. Thank you, Andy. Ashley's in Bournemouth. Ashley, question. Oh, it's all by the seaside today. Question or answer, Ashley?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on.
So I used to wear hair extensions,
oh, yes,
and they were made of real human hair, which I imagine someone shaves their head and, you know, sells their hair or whatever.
You said yes.
And
that's what I did. That's what I did. That's why I look a bit bald. I was thinking of others, Ashley. I'm always thinking
of
others.
Well, then you'll be really interested in this question, then.
Yes.
So I was wondering, how do they make synthetic hair extensions? Because I bought a fake ponytail for a night out the other week, and they're much cheaper than real human hair.
Yeah.
But then I was looking at them and, you know, how are they made in the factory? Are they extruded from a material and how does it work in the factory where they don't get all tangled up? So how do we make synthetic hair?
What are they made of? What did it say on the ingredients?
Some sort of plastic, I guess. But they don't look as natural as real human hair because it's quite shiny and plasticky. And
how close do you have to get to think it doesn't look real?
Well, I mean, you can buy them from, like, Tesco, you know, a cheap fake
but could
party
you, could
wig.
You, yeah, so did your friends know that you were wearing a fake... Well, I suppose they'd be a bit confused about why you'd managed to grow a ponytail since the last time they saw you.
But I used to wear the human ones, but they're very expensive.
Yeah.
But how do they make the synthetic hair?
Because no, you're on.
It seems like... Yeah.
It's Louis XVI that got decapitated, of course, not Louis XIV. Thank you for the reminder. But now we also need to know, just as an illustration of how all human life is here... And indeed, synthetic life. How do they make fake hair?
Did Louis have a fake hair?
He had lovely hair. All the Louis had lovely hair. It didn't wash it much in those days, but there was plenty of it. Although they wore wigs, didn't they? Of course.
Yeah. Were they real or were they fake?
Well, there's a good question. You're not allowed it now because you've already asked the other one about your own. So when you wore your fake ponytail,
yes,
did you like the effect, or would you not be doing it again?
Oh, I thought it was was all right because it was only like a tenner off the internet, whereas the real human hair extensions. Were,
what
you know,
did you do? Did you sort of clip it under your head?
Yeah.
You clip. Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I might have a little look at that. I could be one of those.
You used to get one, couldn't you?
I could be one of those elderly Italian men that you see at the beach who've got a bald head but quite a long ponytail. I could rock that look, I think. Thank you, Ashley. It's on the list. What a fake hair extension's made of. 12:39 is the time. And Ali, it's two phone lines free. Stop texting me to tell me that you can't get through. There is literally two phone lines free now. 03456060973. Ali's in Barnet. Ali, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
So it's for the question that the gentleman posed about whether it's true that firstborns are more likely to live longer. So I'll start off by saying the evidence is a bit inconclusive, but there is some interesting studies that have been done on this. And the studies have just basically sought out to see how likely they are to live to the age of 100.
Okay.
So, and what they've sort of found is that it is actually true, but it's actually dependent on the mother's age at which she had the child.
Okay.
So before the, obviously, you know, it's quite common knowledge that the quality of the female eggs declines rapidly sort of before the age of 30.
Right.
And so having a child before that time obviously then gives them the highest chances of living longer and not having being predisposed to any genetic conditions like type 1 diabetes or anything like that. So it basically aids fetal development. Whereas having it later on, and there's also other theories about chromosomes and telomere lengths and things like that.
That makes sense. It makes sense, doesn't it?
But there's also other research that suggests that younger born siblings are more likely to take part in risk-taking behaviours and things like that. So there's other factors involved other than just pure genetics.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a complicated process, but this is a fascinating area of research, like epigenetics and things, but it is inconclusive. The stuff that they've done is on like animal studies, and the sample sizes aren't that big, but it is interesting to say the least.
That's a pretty good answer. Question or answer? Qualifications.
Oh, qualifications. I've got a first class degree in pharmacology and I'm a biology teacher.
Okay, that'll do. Well done. Nice one, Ali. I bet you're a great teacher because I understood everything you said, which is a miracle.
Thank you.
I got a B in, but I don't know why I'm telling everyone what grades I got in 1988. But I did, or 1980. I got a B in biology, which is by far my best science subject, and I understood all of that. But I bet you'd have to be an even better physics teacher than you are a biology teacher to explain physics to me. B in biology, C in chemistry, D in physics. And you think about the amount of money my parents spent on my education. Frankly, they should have got a refund. Thank you, Ali. Adrian's in Alverchurch. Everything's beginning with A this hour. Alison, Ali, Adrian, Alverchurch. Question or answer, Adrian?
Answer, please, James, to the shooting star.
Oh, good man. Carry on.
Right. The answer is that if it wasn't going across your path, it would still burn up. And so you would see it as a point of light that would quickly get brighter and then fade.
Got it. Qualifications?
Amateur astronomer, and I also have 2 meteor cameras. We're part of the UK Meteor Network.
Have you really? Gosh.
Yeah.
So you'd see it coming towards you as a ball of light getting brighter, and then it would start fading.
Yeah, that's right. And the UK Meteor Network, it's there's a network of cameras across the country. What they do is, because you're looking at the meteors that are coming in at different angles, you can work out the trajectory of them. So if they're large enough to land, and sometimes they are, then the cameras now are so accurate that you can actually work out sometimes within a sort of few hundred metres or something like that. And you remember the Witchbowl meteorite?
I do,
The one that landed? Yeah, that was an example of that. Because they had the cameras, they were able to work out the trajectory, and it meant that they could actually find the meteorite when it landed before it had actually been degraded by rain and weather conditions and so on and so forth.
When did you get into it?
Well, I've been into astronomy for years. I've been part of the Meteor Network for about 18 months, 2 years, something like that.
I love that. Can we give Adrian a lovely round of applause? Don't go away, Adrian. I've got a question for you, actually.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Stay there. I don't do this very often. You know I'm from Kidderminster.
Yeah, just up the road.
That's right. So I know something about Alva Church that will make quite an interesting question for a hook and tease. I like to do hook and teases these days. I don't really need to do them during Mystery Hour because people are going to stay listening over the break. But some people sometimes get distracted. Why is Alva Church? And if you know the answer, it won't be a hook and tease because you have to tell me. But what is the significance of Alva Church, Alv Church, in the history of British radio?
It's a good history of radio.
It's a good one, this, Adrian. British radio. The history of British radio.
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I do.
I know a little bit about radio, but not about the history.
I bet you're a techno bloke, aren't you? Know a bit about Marconi and all that sort of thing. No, you're barking up the wrong tree, Adrian. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Go on then, spill the beans.
I'll tell you after the next break. That's how it works. I'm building up tension now, Adrian. You've been like you've been Ernie Wise to my Eric Morecambe here.
Oh, I've got to wait now then.
You've got to wait now. I'll just slap you on the chops like that a bit. I'll see you on the other side of the break, sunshine.
From tranquil, sparkling blue lakes to the bustle of multicultural Toronto and the thunderous roar of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada is home to iconic cities, breathtaking natural wonders, and pristine wilderness. Discover your next adventure in Ontario. Book your Ontario holiday with Canadian Affair at canadianaffair.com/Ontario.
Mrs. Riley is concerned about the price of everything. The Admiral tells her that she could actually save money.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
That she could cover her home, car and van on one insurance policy, Admiral Multicover.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
And save up to £374.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Riley.
Seems Mrs. Riley is Riley pleased with Admiral Multicover. Oh, can I try that line again, please? In a 6-month period, 10% of Multicover customers saved at least £374. See admiral.com for more.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is 12:48 and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. James is in Coventry. He says, please tell me that it was a brilliant masterstroke from Keith to go from a question about hair to somebody calling from Barnet. I wish, James. Yeah, well played. But no, it was a complete coincidence, which I should have spotted and made a joke about, but you beat me to it. Back to the questions in need of answers, and indeed, still room for a couple more questions as well, although we do need quite a lot of answers now. The time, does that ever happen to you? I just glanced up. I thought it was about 20 past 12. It's 10 to 1, honestly. Anne's in Bangor, in Northern Ireland. Question or answer, Anne?
It's a question, James. I want to know
Didn't we have a lovely time. The time we went to Bangor. Do you know that song?
No, I don't. I've only been here for a few years.
How many years have you been there for?
3 years, just over 3 years.
See, I can't believe you can live there and not know that song. During my childhood, that song was, didn't we have a lovely time, the time we went to Bangor. So we had fun, and all for under a pound, you know. Can we get a clip of that before we go? Because Anne thinks I'm mad. Sorry, Anne, carry on.
No problem. I want to know, when in American history did the American accent that we know today become recognisably an American accent?
Well, there's no such thing as the American accent that we know today. Is any more than there's an Irish accent that we know today? You're in Bangor, you head to Dublin, you're going to hear completely different accents, but they're both Irish.
But you'd recognise them as Irish, even though you don't necessarily recognise the regional origin.
Can you do any accents?
Can I do any accents?
Yeah.
Not that we're willing to do on air, that I'm not.
What? No one's listening. Can you do an Irish accent?
I'm trying, but it's really, really difficult. So I've been practicing the How Now Brian Kye.
Hi, Nye.
It's impossible.
Hi, Nye. Brian Kye. There is a theory that if you do an Irish accent and hold your nose, then you get a kind of American accent coming out. It's something to do with the relationship between immigration and the flu. So you kind of
I can imagine.
So you might have a nice Irish accent, and then you sort of hold your nose and you turn into an American. Did you hear? That's incredible. Did you hear that?
It was actually.
That was uncanny. I can't believe my ears. So I have read that if you were to go back to the sort of 17th century, the way people spoke in this country would sound closer to what an American accent sounds like today than a British accent does today.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
No. Yeah. We have got a caller in County Durham who may know the answer to this question. He rarely lets me down, but there's a first time for everything. It's on the list. When did the American accent become the recognisably American accent? Thank you, Anne. And I didn't invent that song. I can't believe no one's... the day we went to bank... I'm not going mad. Can we get a click? Can we have a quick... Anne, don't go away. Here it is. Are you ready? See? You thought I made that up, didn't you?
Are you sure it's not Bangor in Wales?
Oh, it is Bangor in Wales. You're absolutely right. God, why did you ruin it all, Anne? I can't believe you did
that.
There's
also another Bangor in the Republic of Ireland.
Well, it hasn't been specified which one it was, but now you come to mention it, it was obviously the one in Wales. Oh, that was a shame. I was enjoying that enormously. Can we get an answer for Anne after my music-based distractions failed so miserably? Amanda is in Edinburgh. You're not a conservator by any chance, are you, Amanda, who couldn't get through to the programme earlier?
I am. I am a conservator, and I did try and ring in, but I texted first. But I'm here now.
And then you got through. Because did you not hear me read out your text?
No, I didn't.
Oh, so this joke completely fell almost as flat as my musical gag a moment ago. So I read out your text explaining why I can't let people contribute via text, and I certainly can't ring in when people are kind enough to send me their phone numbers. But happily, you tried again, and you got through.
I'm here.
And here you are. Question or answer?
It's an answer to the one regarding why do we or do we not wear gloves with Manny Griff.
Fantastic.
Yes. So I'm a paper conservator and I work with many manuscripts and paper objects, and you do need to wear gloves sometimes, but normally with manuscripts, clean washed hands are fine. That's all you need.
And in what when do you have to wear gloves, and in what circumstances?
So if it's got any like metal, any like gold, silver, those type of thing, then you would wear gloves, but we wouldn't recommend you wear white gloves or cotton gloves, or because they're just in theory like wearing mittens or like winter gloves.
Yes.
There's really little to no dexterity with them at all. So we would recommend like surgical gloves.
Nitrile gloves.
Exactly.
And it's because of the effect that the oils in your skin could have on the materials like the gold, but they're going to be fine with the actual paper.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, that's superb. I know you've already told me, but the rules insist that I ask again. What are your qualifications?
So I'm a paper conservator. I specialise in paper.
So exciting.
And
what are you working on at the moment? Yeah. What are you working on at the moment?
I've actually just got a Max Ernst up that I need to do some tear repairs on. So I'm going to do that this afternoon after I've eaten.
don't forget to wash your hands. How did you get into it? Where did the enthusiasm blossom from?
I did a fine art degree in Newcastle, and then my technician was like, Amanda, because I make paper as well, and they were like, why don't you come and see this? And Northumbria University offered a paper conservation course, and that's how I got into it.
That's one of my favourite answers of all time. Have a round of applause on me, Amanda. Absolutely fascinating. Thank you. I have indeed, Chris, forgotten the answer to my question, and no one's reminded me. I instruct my colleagues every day not to let me go home without revealing the answer to the question that I've posed on the show before a break. No one reminded me, so thank you, Chris, for stepping up to the plate. The answer to the question of why Alva Church in Worcestershire has a special place in British radio history is because the creator of the Archers was from there. Godfrey Baisley was from there. And that's a really good little bit of trivia for you. So whenever you hear the word Alva Church in future, which I grant you won't be often, you'll think of the Archers. And you'll also think of Adrian and his comet telescopes. They're fascinating. Thank you. Ed's in Mere in South Wiltshire. Question or answer, Ed?
It's an answer, James.
Thank you.
It's the sound of water.
Oh, good man. Carry on. Yes, why does hot water sound different to cold water, even as it comes out of the same tap in the same sort of minute?
All fluids, liquids and gases, are affected by change in temperature.
Yes.
And that, in fact, change of temperature changes the density, which alters the speed of sound.
The density.
So cold water will sound louder than warm water.
Is it got something to do with the molecules oscillating?
It's just purely the density, yes. Density changes.
As a consequence of the molecules moving at different speeds.
That would be more. That would be more viscosity. But yeah. I mean, if you get bubbles in a liquid, of course, that will affect the density
what
as well.
Brilliant answer. What are your qualifications?
I've been a mechanics of fluids engineer before I retired for 60 years.
A mechanics of fluids engineer. What sort of things I've got such incredible callers today. What does that involve? What would be a normal day's work as a mechanics of fluids engineer?
Aerodynamics, ultrasound.
Wow.
All of the industrial sound applications for non-invasive measurements.
And finally, after 60 years, you've managed to put it all to some use today, Ed.
I'm aged 87. It's been my hope that I would sometimes speak to you. And of course, as I say to people, he's the voice of reason.
Oh, you're very, very kind. Have at least a round of applause on me. Thank you, Ed. Oh, wow, that's a beautiful qualification to answer that question as well. And how politely he sort of pointed out that I was talking out of my hat. See, you can do these things nicely. I told you he'd come. He's like Banquo's ghost. Mark's in Barrow-in-Furness to answer, I venture, the American accents question. What is it, Mark?
Yes, hi, James. You're right to suggest 17th or 18th century.
All right, thank you.
And as you'll appreciate, in those conditions, with no telecommunications and no rapid transport, varieties that diversified tended to stay diversified.
Yes.
Once you were in North America, you would hardly ever talk to anyone in the British Isles. And both sets of varieties diversified. So, for example, in the course of the 18th century, most varieties of British English lost the R in words like car, whereas an American would say car.
Cara.
And a few American varieties lost it. Boston is well known with the famous Kennedy vowel in
Patsy
Cab in the Harvard Yard.
Yeah.
And in the southern varieties down in Louisiana and so on. But most of North America, including British Canada, retain that R. So they did not change. But they did change in some other respects. The vowel system changed. And the distinction between long and short vowels disappeared. And some of the rounded vowels became unrounded. So Americans say job instead of job. And so on.
Job.
So there's a whole series of little changes that gradually accumulated.
It's a beautiful answer. And I'm short of time. Sheila's here. So to answer the question that was asked, there isn't. I mean, I've written down Bangor instead of the poor woman's name. Was it Anne? It was Anne in Bangor, wasn't it? You can't call her Bangor. Can you not?
She was a right Bangor.
Can you stop? It was Anne in Bangor. That's Bangor in Northern Ireland, not Bangor in Wales, where the song's about. So the accent that we think of American is actually English. Old English.
Yeah, with some changes of their own, which you've just brilliantly highlighted.
And not
lots
all
of little changes over the years.
And then some of it will be Latino. You'll have other influences from Eastern Europe and from Holland and all of that. But generally speaking, to think of it as an American accent is probably a bit wrong.
It's an oversimplification,
yes,
certainly.
But still, it's mystery. We oversimplify most things, except when you're on. Qualifications, Mark?
Long-standing linguist.
Round of applause for Mark, please. Very hard this week. Some people have already had a game, but I think I'm going to give it to Anne in Bangor, because why not? I can't believe I got that song wrong, but at least we played it. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player. If you do, it's Bangor in Wales, not Bangor in Northern Ireland. It's the official LBC app where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. But now, it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Whoa! Vauxhall are having a special event from the 14th to the 29th of February with an extra £500 saving on petrol cars.
Really? What about electric?
Wow! An extra £2,000 allowance on electric cars with 4.9% APR representative.
Including new Corsa?
Yes.
Astra?
Yes.
Mokka?
Yes!
Hey, where are you going?
Vauxhall retailer. See ya!
Personal contract purchase, electric vehicles only. T&C subject to status and availability, 18 plus. Stellantis Financial Services. At end of agreement, there are three options. Part exchange, pay optional final payment to own vehicle or return vehicle.
As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.